Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Another chance to hear from the Lord as He speaks from the heart. And I say that because of the anointing. When any time you minister under the anointing, that's the Lord's doing. It's God's work. We're just agents that He works through. Vessels that He works through. And it's good to be a blessing to people, a vessel of honor, a vessel that honors God. The Holy Spirit is the originator of all knowledge, and I love Him. All knowledge comes from God to man. And when He speaks through us and helps us to do His will, you know, sometimes I learn as I yield myself to speak His word, and that's just the way it is. And I thank Him for it. It's a privilege, it's a grace, it's a blessing. And I thank God for His handiwork, whether it be through me or somebody else. I never make it personal. I'm like Jesus. Jesus did the work of God. He went about serving mankind, doing good, being a blessing to people. And that's the way to be. One scripture said, "Let this mind be in you that's also in Christ Jesus," in Philippians chapter 2. I love God. I love His ways. I love His word. I love His people, and I love what He does with us. I love the way He uses us to do His will, and I thank God for all that. The last broadcast, the Lord had me sharing some things that will help us walk in the perfect will of God, and rid ourselves of every distraction that comes to hinder us and take us away from the perfect will of God in our lives. See, when we do things God's way and operate in that perfect will of God, we're putting faith and action to what He reveals. All right, as you go forward attempting to do it God's way, you're going to have interruptions because the devil don't want you to do things God's way. If you pull off what God is having you to do, if you do it, people are going to have greater vision, and it's harder for the enemy to deceive when the light is shining bright. When you're showing people a better way of living, they'll see it. It still requires them to take God at His word and believe Him by faith, but it's harder for them to be deceived, and you encourage people to know that there is a better way to do this. I give you a natural example. Some people are the first people in their family to go to college. All right, they have high grade scores, 4.0 average, and they get a scholarship and they go to college, and they take something that they love and they finish it. Well, they get a better job, and then they come back home, and the people in their hometown are proud of them. Even the people that told them not to do what they did. Even the people said the naysayers, there's always naysayers. And they say, that's too long to go to school. That's too hard. But when you pull it off, then everybody can tell that your life is better off because you finished, you have a better job, you have better things, you have, everything is just better. And they see that wasting time is not their friend. Laziness never helped them. And some people are ashamed of their choices because now they know that there's something better. And some of the people made just as good a grades, but they quit because of the naysayers. And they wish that they had finished. And they took a lesser road, and they are not as happy with their choices. I wrote a poem years ago. It said, "You're only blessed when you make the best decisions." And I analyzed that. I said, well, people are blessed all the time and they don't always make the best decisions. I believe what God was saying is, you're only blessed in a lasting way when you make the best decisions. Because every decision you make has a good side to it, or a desirable side to it. You know, if you quit school and get a job making more money, all right, the good side to that is you start prospering better than you were when you were just a student. You know, you're able to buy a house. Even, you know, you can get some jobs, you can get a house, you can go on to get married, start having children, which is fine if that's what you want to do. But the person who finished college has a better chance of getting a better job and making a lot more money and doing what they love. Now, the job you get, you may not love that job. That just may be a convenience. All right? You're happy because you get to do some things you couldn't do before, but you're really not happy with the job because that's not really what you want to do, you know. And it could be any job. Some people would love to have that job because that's what they love, and that's fine. It's about what you love. But you took a lesser road because you really wanted to do something else, and you put your goals on hold, or you decided to take another option. But you have to always ask yourself, am I making a choice that I'm going to be happy with in the future? When you make decisions of convenience, you know, that's a choice. You made it. You didn't have to make it, but you made whatever choice you made. But if it wasn't in your heart, that's not going to be a lasting blessing. You're going to wish you'll have regrets. I wish I had stuck with what I was going to do and did it. And I wish I would have stayed with my original goals and not let things deter me from it. And then you have a lasting blessing. Now, God is he's a right now God, and he has a plan to get you back in that perfect will of God. It may take longer to do it, and it may not. There may be greater consequences if you do it now. And that's how life works. But he knows the way to get you into that perfect will of God. And if you're just starting out, then you don't have to make the negative choices. You can make continual positive choices. But you have to use what you have. Now, while I'm doing this broadcast, I'm looking at a beautiful church. It's across the street from the park I'm doing this broadcast at, in Bessemer. Now, God has people in place to help you walk the road of his perfect will. And I'm going to explain. First of all, you have the Word of God. You can read about what other people did, and you can learn to problem solve. You know, like when David prayed, he had problems. He prayed to the Lord. The Lord showed him what to do, gave him wisdom. You can see the outcome. Same thing with Joseph. Joseph had problems, a lot of them. He was attacked in every way a man could be attacked, and he made it. You can read about his life. And he ended up in a much better situation. He actually was like the Pharaoh himself. The Pharaoh made him the leader of the whole land, except for him. He was just under what he had to do, what the Pharaoh said. But he was second in command. And this happened several more times. Daniel was second in command in Babylon and in Media and Persia. So now, what I want to say is this. The network that God has given you to get where you want to be is available. But you have to use them. The Word of God, then the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit comes to us as he's a free gift from God. But he won't just come on you because God gave him to you. You have to invite him. If you want his guidance, you have to ask for it. You have to be willing. Sometimes he'll just reveal things to you. And that's your best blessing. Jump on it. Receive it and use it. Now, the other blessings that God has given you, that's the body of Christ. They are a gift. But with them, you have to be wise. You have to pray to the Lord. You don't need to ask people all of your personal business unless the Lord guides you to someone. Now, that's what I do. Some things I want answers for. If he puts somebody, if he give me a vision of somebody, I'll go and talk to them about that specific thing. If he get, you know, it's just whatever God gives you, that's what you do. I don't broadcast all my problems, and then because you're going to get all kind of advice if you do that. But when I have a concern, I ask the Lord all of my concerns, and he prepares somebody to minister as I go through life. Sometimes, most of the times, the things that he want me to do, things ministry-wise, he'll call somebody to say it. One of the ministers of church or somebody on the radio or TV, they'll add an element of something that I need. That's a gift from God, too. That's part of your network to help you do the perfect will of God. And then there are some ministers that, when I listen to them, because God has used them in the past. And I listen to see if whatever the Lord is saying through them. And sometimes I'm encouraged by what they say, because the Lord may give me something that requires my faith. He may give me something that I haven't received before. So I receive another element. And another one is the church, your pastor, which is included in the body of Christ. Now, a lot of college students, they go to, let's say they go to a local college and they're able to go to their home church. Or if they're at college, they can go to a church near the campus. First of all, finding a good church is like finding a good spouse. But once that's attained, God, the Lord will help you do that. When you're in the middle of your endeavor, and this is a time when nothing looks like it's working, it's a long process and it's slow. That's when the enemy usually creeps in to give you the worst advice possible, to just stop where you are and get a job and quit. If you're going to college and you're halfway through it, or you got years ahead before you finish, you may have met someone and want to get married. And these are the things you have to deal with. Now, marriage don't have to be a hindrance. Marriage is a very positive thing. And if you get married and you're in the middle of your schooling, you have to be very mature to continue in the school situation. Because sometimes when you get married, kids follow. It can happen anytime. Interruptions. You're adding another person to the mix. Now, whether that's your best road or not, I can't tell. But the Holy Spirit can. And hopefully it's the right person. And sometimes the Lord will do it that way. You have to. A lot of family members always fear that you're going to quit school when you get married. But it doesn't have to be that way. Some married couples go back to school. It all depends on people. But people will guide you according to what they think. And they always think that you think. People always give advice according to how they feel, not how you feel. But the Holy Spirit knows you personally better than your family, better than they ever will. And only he can tell you the best choice. I found his guidance to be the most faithful, and I trust him in all. You know, the more I draw near to him and learn him, the more I trust him. And I have a beautiful wife that I love, and she's my blessing. And the Lord told me what the marriage would be like before I married her. He told me what she was like, because I asked. Now, when you make a choice, you can make a confident choice if you can trust the Holy Spirit. Only he can give you the best advice. Now, if you listen to family members and you decide not to get married, stay in school, do what they say, live their life, and the Lord has given you a person that's fitting for you, and you let that person go, you may not ever get a better person again. Or it can go both ways. Sometimes the person that you think highly of is not the person for you. I can't tell you. Nobody can. Only God can. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the network. It's a safe network. If you can trust the Lord, you can benefit from it. Now, again, when you're in the middle of your endeavor, it's gonna take some years to complete this goal. You're gonna need encouragement, because the enemy is every day he's trying to slow you down, give you reasons to quit, aggravate you. Other people bring their drama into it and create the static I was talking about. You know, the last broadcast we talked about how when you're watching a movie you really want to see, it's a nice clear picture, and then you get that static. Let's say the weather's bad. Now, this don't happen as much with the cable and the satellite TV. It can with some. But nobody wants to see static on their TV. They'd rather see a clear picture. All right? In life, you don't want static in your life. Now, my experience, there are many people that won't do their own business. They won't take care of themselves. They try to figure out a way to get other people to pay their way through life. They always need something. They're the kind that run out of gas. They get a job. They lose the job. They borrow money. Don't pay it back. These people are a distraction. And the Lord wants us to love everybody. Now, you're in college trying to study, and then one of your siblings got put in jail, your mother's worried, wants you to come back home. All these kind of things distract you from what you got to do. What if you receive the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to deal with every problem? And He will show you how to deal with it faithfully. And people won't be the distraction that they became. He'll show you how to manage everything. That all the little details in life that you're going to need. The Word of God, there's something in the Word of God to help you deal with it, help you learn. And the Holy Spirit will point it out. You have to have a word base in your heart. Remember when the Lord taught me about virtue? He said virtue is the amount of word in your heart. If you notice the track record of your life, the best decisions were made after you left a good church service, you were encouraged in the Lord, you were willing to do His word, and when that happened, even when the worst challenges came, you were able to stand faithfully. Now, why not keep that going? And you made the worst decisions when you were distracted, frustrated, tempted, aggravated. That's when you co-sign for somebody. That's when you buy something just because it's a good deal. You don't get all the facts. You make rush and rash decisions. You know, my pastor said something. He said, I don't make rash decisions. If he's not sure, he'll wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting. Holy Spirit, He can help you with perfect wisdom. Sometimes I get excited about something I want to buy, and I'd buy it. Years ago, I just buy it, and then I realized I should have waited. So as I got a little older, I started doing things different. If I really want to do something, I say, okay, I want to do this. Now I go ask the Lord. Now, if you want to do it too much, you're not going to listen to nothing else. And the Lord won't even say nothing to you. And if He tried to, you wouldn't listen. You have to calm down, be at peace, and just wait till He say something. Make it a rule. I'm going to wait till the Lord give me something before I act. If you're really not sure, it's probably because it's really not right. And learning to follow God is this can give you the best benefit. It's worth it to learn how to do this. But it's just like when I vote for presidents. You know, people say all the things they want to say. You don't really know them as a person. You know what they're saying. They're trying to be elected. And I say, Lord, what's my best choice? And I wait. Even if I like one candidate, I will, and I don't like another one, I will just wait and listen to what the Lord has to say. Because he looks at the heart. And he knows who's going to do what and why. And I become neutral and I listen. And when I always knew who the president would be. Because I always asked the Lord, who should I vote for? And which way should I go? Now, I want to vote right, so I ask him, what's the best candidate and what's the best choice? I listen to him, and I try to hear all of them out. And if I disagree with him, I don't have to vote. I don't vote for him. I don't have to do that. But I get God's insight, is what I'm saying. And you have to be neutral. You have to just calm down and be at peace. Then you can hear the Lord. If I really want to do something, and I want to do it, I'm just antsy about it, I want to do it right now, just wait. Get all the facts together, and then make a decision. And you make better choices that way. Most of the time, people made the worst choices when they were in a rush. They signed their name to a car that they can't sell. And if they buy it, it's going to put them in a worse condition that they're in. Remember, Scott Webb said something. He said, a good business deal leaves both people better off. So when you're making a big choice, consider what the Holy Spirit, the guidance of God, the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When you marry, when you decide what buying a house, where you're buying the house, the Holy Spirit will guide you to a place where you can live there the rest of your life if you had to. When I was looking for a house, he said, when my peace come on, you won't have to look anymore. And when I went to that house, when I walked in and saw the kitchen and the way it was set up, his peace came on me. It's not the best looking house in the world, but I'm happy there. I like that house. It's not the best looking house in the world by far, but I like it. And my wife likes it. And I enjoy it. And it's suited for what I do. It wouldn't bother me if I never moved. And then one of the big bonuses is I met my pastor's mother. And I was praying about, I said, Lord, before I die, I want to work in ministry with people that's serious about following you, about doing your will. And she told me about Pastor Jim McCann. And how when the Lord called him, he went in the woods and he said, Lord, you got to show me, what do you want? He wanted to follow God. He went and got wisdom. That was the first pastor that did that I know of. And he always makes a decision based on what the Lord gives him. Even if he don't agree with it, he may argue with it, but he'll do what God say do. And I seen great works happen there. He listened to the Lord. That's what the Lord always desired. And I'm like, I want to see what's going to happen next. And good things have happened. And I thank God for it. It's a progressive ministry. Now, I've seen other ministers, they're good ministers, but they wrestle with the plan of God. And they always settle for the permissive will instead of the perfect will. And I'm like, I want it. All right, now what's next? I want more. So in my ministry, I ask the Lord, what all does he want? It always progresses. Every assignment, the Lord gives me assignments. It's different than a pastor, so I do things by assignment. And every assignment, the Lord showed me, everything he give me to do is progressive. It does more than I can see, and I thank God for it. As long as I'm obedient, I'm all right. Now, the perfect will of God is worth it. It's well worth it. And you're going to be so happy when you get to the end of it and get the rewards of it. And it's going to inspire people. Your life can inspire others to do what you do. We bear fruit after our kind. the people that you inspire will do better than they would have if you didn't inspire them. And you're going to get the rewards of hanging on in there. But you got to regard your network. If you can regard your network, you can do all things to the glory of God. And I thank the Lord for it. The interference you get from people, there is a way to deal with it. Years ago when I was in the band, a guy named Gerald had a magazine. I forgot which magazine. It could have been Esquire or something like that. But it was a good magazine. And it had an article. And this was a time when people were always asking me to do something. And he read the article. We was driving to band practice. And he said, you know, I found this article and it kind of suits you. He said, listen to this. And he read it. He said, when people are always wanting you to do something and they interfere with the time, you know, with your time, and you always help them. And they really could do these things themselves, you know, but they always want you to do something. He said, the way to stop it is ask them to do something for you. Huh. Because we all need something done. But when the people always need something, they always want you to do something, start asking them to do something. I said, well, I'm going to try it out. And when people kept asking me for stuff and asking me to do something, I started asking them to do something. And you know what? They stopped. Now, when the Lord taught me something about business, before I started my business, people were always wanting me to fix a car. And so when the Lord had me to do the radio broadcast, I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I said, I need time and money. I don't have much money and I don't have much time because I'm always helping somebody. And he taught me some things about business. He said, start charging people for your work. And so I did, and I started having more time for myself and more money to do the things I was supposed to do. People don't mind you doing their responsibilities. And sometimes we want to spread the gospel so bad that we'll do people's work for them. Now, there's nothing wrong with helping people that can't help themselves. But if they're just as strong as you, ain't nothing wrong with their mind. When you minister the gospel, you don't have to go and do their responsibilities to keep them in church. Because eventually, if they don't really want God, they really don't want God. Either they want him or they don't. And you know how God didn't tell us to do people's responsibilities. I even looked up the word poor one time in the Hebrew. And then I forgot, I can't pronounce the word, but I forgot how to pronounce it. I think it was makar. I could be wrong. You Hebrew scholars know. But you can look it up. I looked up the word poor. And the meaning meant people that had went through a disaster. Let's say like the hurricane that just came through in Texas. Now, or a person that, you know, raiders came and destroyed the land. They don't have a house anymore. Something like that. These are the kind of people that God will have you to help. Now, they've been devastated. All their belongings have been ruined. And they need a place to live. They need money now. Now, eventually the insurance companies will pick it up and they'll be back where they were. But when something has happened and they can't pay you and they can't work right now, that's the kind of people to help. But people that can work and won't work, that's not the kind of people that you need to help. And some people, they're con artists. I talked in the last broadcast about people that want the church to pay their bills. And they're not doing their own responsibilities. They won't work a job. I understand that people things happen and they have crisis. That's the kind of people you help. But there are con artists out there that just interfere. It takes the Holy Spirit to know them. I picked up a guy one time. He had a gas can, and he wanted money for gas. I said, well, he said, my car's over here by Food World. I said, well, come on, I'll take you to your car. You can get some gas on the way. And he got in the car. And then the Holy Spirit, he was in my truck. The Holy Spirit spoke and said, pull over and put him out. I said, I was, a puzzled look was on my face. I said, put him out. And then the Holy Spirit said, he's lying to you. And before I could pull over and put him out, he said, I'll pull over right here. I want to get out. And he got out because he was lying to me. You don't have to suffer with interference. Now, who's behind it? You know, there are many pastors, many people the Lord called to be a pastor, and they don't want to do it because people are going to call them in the middle of the night. They won't listen. They know they won't have go to church. And then they want the church to pay their bills. Don't let people like that deter you from your mission. You're going to run into thousands of contrary people along the course of your life. But the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom to stop their actions. Now, who's behind it? You know Satan is. Tell Satan he can't use people to hinder you. And you'll see it stop. And the people that continue to do it, God will give you wisdom. But Satan is behind it. Don't let Satan interfere with your life. Live a static free life. Let your life be like a beautiful picture. Now, till next time, remember, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. I love you. God loves you, and Jesus is Lord.